Good morning, welcome to
Go Live Sunday. Whether you're a regular or with us for the first time, we are really happy that you're here.
This morning, Matt H will be leading us and Mike Blowers will be continuing our series in Acts of Faith and why we need to lose religion.
Sounds good. So let's engage our hearts and our minds and get ready to
worship!
It's great to see you. Today our theme is Acts of Faith and why we need to lose religion. Mike Blowers, one of the leaders here at Welton, is going to be speaking, and I've heard a rumour that he might not even talk about golf today, so stick around, find out if that's true. But before we get to that and we worship together, we've got an update with one of the team from Welton at Home project, something that we set up within a couple of days of that first lockdown, as a way to connect people that can offer help with those who needed some help. So here's a conversation with Joe, one of the team from earlier on this week.
Hey Joe, it's great to see you. We thought it would be good to do a quick catch up on Welton at Home, how it's going, what's the latest, and how people can get in touch if they want to. So let's start, just first of all, just tell us what is happening with Welton at Home at the moment.
Well, we've been meeting up. We just wanted to not relaunch, but just remind people that we're still here during this second lockdown, but also encourage people that it's a bit different this time. So if you need anything for mental well-being or spiritual well-being, we want to try and be there for those areas as well as the practical needs, like always. So yeah, if you need to get in contact, then just use the normal website, which we'll try and put up somewhere. Yeah.
All right. So you said about getting in contact. There's the practical side, and then there's the more kind of well-being, emotionally, mentally, that spiritually, that kind of stuff. Just say a little bit about what Welton at Home can offer on both the practical side, and then also on the more kind of well-being side.
Okay. So on the practical side, we can do things like click and collect shopping for you, or prescriptions, like before. But on the wellbeing side, if you want to meet up for a walk one-on-one with someone, we can either arrange that, or we can encourage you to find someone maybe in your local neighbourhood or that way. So then you've got someone to go out. We also had an idea that maybe we could encourage and get people doing prayer walks in the local area to really think about our local community and what God wants us to do during this time, because it's a great time to be thinking about those other people.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, just tell us again, lastly, how we can get in touch. If anybody's watching thinking, that sounds good, I got a question, or I could offer some help, or I'd like some help, what's the best way to get in touch?
So there are a few ways. You can either do our website, our email, sorry, which I think is Welton at Home.
We'll stick up it on the screen. We'll by some magic, we'll find somewhere
better. Then it's definitely correct. Or there's through house groups too. There's a point of contact in your house groups. If you're part of one, then or get in contact with me or Debs. Anyway, really.
All right, fantastic. Listen, thank you so much for everything that you're doing with Welton at Home. It's been brilliant in lockdown one, and again, really significant and important for us in lockdown two. Keep on going.
Thank you.
All right, see ya. Bye.
Bye.
Isn't it great to have a week with some good news in it? And we can thank God. So many people have been praying for a COVID vaccine, and we're one big step closer. It's been fascinating listening to people talk about the science of what's being achieved with this almost spiritual language. And I, for one, think it's fitting to look for the fingerprints of God in a research lab as much as in a painting or a piece of music or in church. James 1:17 says, everything good comes from God. Every perfect gift is from him. Biblically, we find these precedents for glimpses of God in the world around us, and sometimes in unexpected places. Moses at Horeb catching a glimpse of God through a burning bush. Abraham's three strangers that come for tea. The fourth person in the fiery furnace. And today, in art and in music, nature, the stars, Cheddar Gorge, your back garden, and in science, C.S. Lewis adds a good perspective, reminding us that we worship the creator, not the created. We worship the one who gives the skills to the great artist or the great scientist, not the artist or the scientist themselves. He says it was not in them, it came through them. So whether in the Sistine Chapel or a science lab, we can catch glimpses of the goodness of God. Everything good comes from God. Every perfect gift is from him. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that in this world we can glimpse you, often in unexpected places. We can see your goodness and your creative beauty. Help us to broaden our view, to be ready to see you more. Give us faith to look hard and to expect to see. Remind us that you're the God of art and of music and of nature and of science. Lord, you're the ultimate good news. And I pray today that as we spend time together, that our eyes will be opened wider to see more of your beauty, your goodness, your creative power. And as we do this, we pray that our faith in you would grow. In Jesus' name.
Good morning. And it's great to share with you wherever you are, and indeed when you're watching this. My prayer is that we may each hear from God and that our relationship with him may be strengthened and grow even during these difficult times. As I prepare this talk, we've just entered into lockdown version 2.0. Isn't it amazing how we seem to need to have a title for everything? So, here's mine. Acts of faith and why we need to lose religion. My hope is that we go back into our study of the book of Acts and see a little of the lives of the early Christians. We'll learn more about faith in our God, how this may develop, and how with it we can achieve great things for God. So, what do we mean by faith? Dictionary definitions put it as a complete trust in someone or something, or a confidence or trust in a person, thing, or concept. So just moving that into a Christian basis, a definition I've found is believing in God's promises, trusting in his faithfulness, relying on God's character and faithfulness to act. The Church of England state that Christians believe that every human being is made in the image of God and is loved deeply by God. We believe that each individual is of immeasurable worth despite our failings, our flaws, and our inadequacies. We also believe that God has made us to know God in a way that's amazing, fulfilling, liberating, and challenging. Throughout the ages, God has invited us to this life of trust and faith by showing what kind of God he is through the beauty of creation, through the way of life he gave to the Jews, through prophets, and most fully in Jesus of Nazareth, whose whole life and death shows us who God is and what God is like. And they say, we believe Jesus is the perfect image of God because he is God. The beginning of faith is to trust in this loving God who knows us more profoundly than we know ourselves. That's great, but some skeptics of faith would say it's simply belief without evidence. And in some ways, that's true. We have no physical evidence of God. But for those who have taken the step into a relationship with God, it's the experience of living in a dynamic and new personal relationship with God through the sacrifice of Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's this relationship that we can see through the lives of many of those we come across in the book of Acts. I'd just like to spend a short time looking at some of those and what we can learn in our own journey of faith. Fairly long passage, but I'll just read it through. In Acts 4, verses 1 to 13, we read, the priests and captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all people of Israel, it is by Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone your builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Great passage. And what do we learn from this? Firstly, Peter and John were unschooled, ordinary men. They had no great education or training that could make them stand out as spiritual leaders. And yet, they had truly met with Jesus, had seen his death on the cross and his resurrection, and their faith was rock solid as a result of this. They were arrested by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees, and were hauled before the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law. We're told that Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other men of the high priest's family. Among them, many were probably very learned and wise men, but they had no real answer to the faith and witness of Peter and John. Secondly, Peter was not telling those who had been dragged before him anything they didn't know. They were, after all, in the temple to worship and pray. They believed in God, but they were so blinded by their own religion that they missed God who was in their midst. They missed that Jesus, the King of Kings, was there to die for them. They missed the Messiah. They relied on their own religion and totally missed what God was doing. And thirdly, we see that they had no answer to what Peter was saying. After he had spoken, all they could do was just to confer and decide to warn Peter and John no longer to speak to anyone in this name. This hardly had any real effect. And fourthly, we see that as Peter preached the truth about the gospel and introduced people to Jesus, they got it. They accepted the message of Christ crucified, even though they saw Peter and John arrested and put in jail. Many heard the message, believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. That is truly amazing. And from this passage, we see how strong a faith Peter and John had. They had no doubts, and their faith led to a strong relationship with God, which impacted on every aspect of their lives. And through this, gave confidence to share and proclaim Jesus. Let's just look at a few more examples of faith in action. In Acts 3, where Peter had been speaking to the onlookers after the crippled beggar had been healed and they had been astonished, he said, amongst other things, "Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned the holy and righteous one. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given the complete healing to him. An amazing thought that through this man's faith in Jesus, he was healed. A real challenge to us to have real faith in God, which can lead to life-changing responses. In Acts 5, verse 7, we hear of Stephen, who is described as a man full of the faith and the Holy Spirit, being appointed with others to minister the word of God. And then in verse 7, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Faith in action in an incredible way. I don't know about you, but in reading these passages and being reminded of what happened in the lives of Peter and John, who were real men of faith, I'm really challenged as to what it means to have life and to live a life of faith. One thing is both then and indeed now is that faith requires courage. I'd encourage you to read through again the amazing passages in Acts and see how the message of salvation through Jesus was shared. Just jumping forward to Acts 14, we read at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. And then when the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers, Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. And yet, even then there was a plot to ill-treat them and stone them, but still they continued to preach the good news. Continuing on, they continued to share their faith and what the living God had done. This led, in verse 19 we read, to Paul being stoned and being dragged outside the city when they thought he was dead. Despite this, they continued to preach the good news and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Certainly not an easy passage of time when they were constantly under threat from various areas, and yet, through faith, they stood firm. And then finally, we see that real faith requires sacrifice. In Acts 4, verses 32 to 37, we read all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. This was a true mindset of togetherness and a purpose to testify and witness to Jesus and their faith in him. Yet for some, this was hard, as we see in later verses about Ananias and Sapphira. It required a full, wholehearted sacrifice to God. Faith is often a word we struggle with, but it's not based on weakness. It is based on clear evidence of God. In Genesis 15, we read that in response to God's promise that countless descendants, Abraham believed the Lord and counted it to him as righteousness. Commenting on this in Romans 4, verses 20 and 21, Paul said, "No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised." Faith is putting your trust in God and having confidence that he will fulfill his promises. It's a daily, ongoing thing and is the means by which we have a relationship in God. Ephesians 2 verses 8 states, "For by grace you have been saved by faith." It is a reliance completely on Jesus and what he has done for us, and through him we are made right with God. It brings life and contrasts sharply. We saw in the passages earlier, and indeed today, who rely on religion, which seeks to control, rule by law, and does not bring life. So what do these passages say to us today as we battle with the difficulties that the restrictions and health worries have brought? For many, the last months have been hard, and there is a feeling of weariness as we go through another lockdown. There may well be a desire just to retreat into our own environment, to pull down the blinds and wait until better times come. Some watching today may not as yet have come to a faith in Jesus. You may or may not have been involved in church life and witnessed religion, but not experienced the relationship we see from the early Christians and see with those who are living a life of faith on a daily basis, a true relationship with God. I would say that this can change and would encourage you to examine where you are and to reach out to the living God, seeking to come into a full relationship with him through faith. It's a big but also easy step, as it does not call on anything we do save acknowledging Jesus and all he has done for us. And there may also be some who are watching, if they are honest, have been struggling with their faith over the last 9 or 10 months. Without being able to meet together and encourage each other, their faith may have been dimmed, and the relationship with God becomes somewhat distant. If we're honest, it's been incredibly difficult to keep going, and throughout Acts we see many examples of how the disciples encouraged and supported each other. Yet there were also times when they were scattered and had no support. Yet we know that God is always there. We do not stand upon anything we do or say to deserve our relationship with God, and he is constantly there for us. A true relationship with God is possible through walking with faith. It is a daily thing, and not through any formal act or procedures. God is waiting there to refresh that relationship and wills you to walk in faith. If you are in that place, can I just encourage any who may want to turn back to God in a practical way? Find time each day to read his word, to talk to him and to listen to him, and that relationship will grow again. Be prepared to ask others to pray and to support each other. And again, over the last few months, many have grown in their faith despite the difficulties and isolation from others. This is great, and I would encourage you at this time to share testimony of what God has been doing with those around you. Expect great things from God. It's a great opportunity to reach out to those we come into contact with, whether that be family, those within the church, friends and neighbours, and in our own way share the faith we have and the relationship with a living God who loves us so much that each day and is capable of doing amazing things. God is not contained by lockdown. He's with us and knows what each of us is going through. Now, one or two of you watching this may be glad that as I draw to a close, there's been no reference to golf. If so, I'm afraid you're going to be disappointed. Two thoughts, which hopefully may make some sense. Firstly, Gary Player, a great golfer of the past, used to say, "It's funny, the more I practice my golf, the luckier I become." What he was saying was that by spending hours and hours concentrating on practice, when he actually went out on the golf course, his game seemed to go better. Could it be that by spending more time with God, we will find that our faith in him will grow, our relationship will develop, and we will see God working through us more? Secondly, one of the first lessons when you're given when starting golf is to keep your head down and eyes on the ball as you go to hit the ball. The temptation is to lift our head quickly as we want to see how far and in which direction the ball will go. The end result is often not great. In the same way, are we being asked at this time to keep our eyes firmly on Jesus and trusting the end result? Many of us want to know when and how this pandemic will end and we can get back to normal. In many ways, a very natural thing, and we do know there is a future for each one of us. But by looking up, are we missing what God wants to do at this present time? So my prayer as we close this is that each one may look afresh to God, to know his daily presence, and through faith in him, grow in our relationship and be used by him. Thank you, and God bless.
Thanks so much, Mike. Next week, we're going to be taking communion together on Zoom at the end of our Go Live service. So please remember to get hold of some bread and something to drink so that we can share this celebration meal together. If you'd like somewhere to come and pray and you live in or around the Midsummer Norton area, we're going to be opening up our chapel during the second lockdown for private prayer, Tuesdays and Thursdays between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. and also on Saturdays between 11 and 2. There's no need to book in, you can just turn up and pray. So that's an invitation that's open. We'd encourage you, get some time alone with God if you can. For now, thanks for being here. We really hope that you've heard from God, you've connected with him. Let's keep our eyes on him and expect him to work through our lives this week. God bless.